You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know.
Good evening and welcome to a special episode of There's Life After Layoff Radio Show. You are in for a special treat this evening because tonight we are going to take a moment to recognize Black History Month. And in doing so, we will take a closer look at an inspiring and creative PSA campaign titled The Power of Words. So I invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy. I'm Allie, the host of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. There Is Life After Layoff is a vision from God, and it is my very transparent journey of facing my own truths without placing blame as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. Together with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests, who helped to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to push past the fear in your life as you explore new and inspiring opportunities to discover your life's purpose. In doing so, together, we will support one another through this journey. That is why I invite you to tune in on the conversation with us on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Up to Me Radio website at up2meradio.com. So with that said, I say thank you once again for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life events. Now, of course, you know, this platform works because of you, our faithful listeners. You're the ones who help to drive the show, and so that is why we always want to hear from you. So if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, my guests and I invite you to call us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1. But please remember that you only have to press the number 1 if you want to be added into the on-air host queue to make a comment or to ask a question. And we generally begin taking your calls right after our break at 7:30, and we look forward to hearing from you. So now that the housekeeping is out of the way, we're ready to get started. And I can't say this enough. I've said it many, many times on this show. I am so blessed and grateful that God has allowed me to be a part of so many wonderful projects and to work with the most amazing and creative people. And in just a moment, I am going to introduce you to a couple of those people. But first, as I mentioned at the top of the show, tonight we are taking some time to recognize Black History Month. And it dawned on me while I was preparing for this show that there are probably so many of us who may not even know the history behind how February became known as Black History Month, also known as African American History Month. So with that said, I want to take a moment to read to you a Time magazine article that I came across recently that is written by Julia Zorthian, that explains how February became Black History Month. So just bear with me for a moment. It was in 1964 when the author James Baldwin reflected on the shortcomings of his education. When I was going to school, he said, I began to be bugged by the teaching of American history because it seemed that that history had been taught without cognizance of my presence. Baldwin's thoughts echoed those of many before and after him. Half a century earlier, when Carter G. Woodson had the same frustration, he set the foundation for what would become today's National Black History Month, observed each February. In the early 20th century, while he earned a master's degree from the University of Chicago and a PhD from Harvard, both in history, Woodson witnessed how black people were underrepresented in the books and conversations that shaped the study of American history. According to the way many historians taught the nation's past, African Americans were barely part of the story. a narrative that Woodson knew was not true. So in 1915, he and Jesse E. Moreland founded what is now known as the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. The organization would promote studying black history as a discipline and celebrate the accomplishments of African Americans. If a race has no history, it has no worthwhile tradition. It becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated, Woodson said of the need for such study. In 1926, Woodson and his organization launched a Negro History Week to bring attention to his mission and help school systems coordinate their focus on the topic. Woodson chose the second week in February, as it encompassed both Frederick Douglass's birthday on February 14th and Abraham Lincoln's birthday on February 12th. The celebrations and studies spread quickly, which drove the demand for teaching materials and spurring the formation of black history clubs. But though a newfound understanding of black culture and literature was spreading amongst the middle class, the idea of expanding the week to a month did not come until several decades later. During the Civil Rights Movement, freedom schools in the South embraced the week and its curriculum message as a way to contribute to the mission. By the mid-1960s, the most popular textbook for 8th grade U.S. history classes mentioned only two black people in the entire century of history that had transpired since the Civil War, and that problem could no longer be ignored. It was in that decade that colleges and universities across the country transformed the week into a Black History Month on campus. A number of mayors had already adopted the celebration as a municipal event by the time President Gerald Ford decreed Black History Month a national observance in 1976, in conjunction with the celebration of America's bicentennial year. In celebrating Black History Month, Ford said in his message, we can seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. And as a result, presidents have issued national decrees with each year's theme since the 70s. Now, I found that very interesting, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of background story, because I know many of us probably don't know the history behind the month. And so now that we have been all educated a little bit about the history of the month, I feel like this is the perfect time for me to now welcome my guests to the show who have found a very creative way to share with us the inspiring words of African-American literary giants throughout the month. And so it is at this time that I would like to welcome first my guest, Linda Goodwin. She is the COO and co-founder of Atlanta Life Media Agency. Welcome, Linda.
Hello, hello, Miss Allie. How are you?
I'm doing
so
great.
Excited to be here. Great, great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, we have someone else joining us. We have a gentleman by the name of Matthew Johnson, who is a media strategist and founder of Johnson Media Consulting, LLC. Welcome, Matthew.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's a pleasure to be here with these ladies. Oh, man, I can't stand it.
You're in good company, Matthew. You're in great company.
Right.
So I want to thank you both for joining me this evening, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm super excited for us to be able to talk about the Power of Words PSA project, and we'll do that in just a moment. But first, I want to both give you the opportunity to share a little bit about yourself, starting with you, Linda. Can you just take a moment to share with our listeners a little bit about who you are?
Sure, sure. Thank you so much. Well, you know, I'm a simple country girl that, you know, I tell people I am your typical corporate chick that has turned entrepreneur. So actually, literally almost 2 years ago, I was working in corporate America for a national healthcare company. I was there for 28 years. I feel like I grew up, you know, in that industry. And, you know, to be honest, I kind of got tired. I got tired. Mm-hmm. I was a caregiver for my mom, and I took early retirement. They offered it. I took it, but at the same time, a couple of years prior to that, I had started a two businesses, actually. So not only did I come out of corporate America and dive into the deep end of the pool into entrepreneurship for one company or for one business, I did it for two. So right now, as you mentioned, I am the COO of Atlanta Life Media Agency, and we are a Georgia TV and film production support agency. We also do a host of things, including, you know, some of our services include hair and makeup, you know, some of those activities that are behind the camera. But we also do activities such as we have an investment support division where we actually help support distribution and brand integration in TV and film deals.
Wow.
And then we also have a division that we call our ancillary support division, and that actually is where we help support small businesses that may be interested in creating some digital promotions. And then we also do a lot with film festivals. You know, Georgia has an abundance of film festivals
right.
here, and we do activities like VIP event logistics. A lot of times film festivals are, they'll have events within those events. And,
right.
and you know, they need operational logistics support, and we do activities like that. So
okay.
we are, you know, very, very excited for what 2019 is bringing, you know, to the table for Atlanta Life Media Agency, and I can't wait to talk about the Power of Words PSA campaign that we launched this year as well.
Wow, awesome. You've got a lot on your plate. Wow, interesting. So, Matthew, share with us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm just a little country boy. Like, you know, I'll describe it from my mom's eyes, who I adore. And my mother basically took me under her wings and told me I could do anything that I set my mind to, and I believed her at the age of 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I too, went the entrepreneurship route. Became an entrepreneur at the tender age of 29.
Mm-hmm.
I spent
okay.
8 years inside of corporate America working for two Fortune 100 companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I, too, got tired. And
mm-hmm.
I knew that when I took my first job, that was the first day I was going to quit. So I did.
Oh, wow.
And I quit 8 years later.
Oh, wow.
I started my own business. I got into the entertainment business and theater.
Okay.
So I did theater for about 8 years, where I brought in and produced Broadway plays into the market. Did that, and then I bought, at that time, they were called record stores. Remember those?
Right.
I purchased two record stores, and then that led me down a path of connecting with people at in the music business.
Mm.
Once
okay.
I got into the music business, I that crossed over into television and
oh,
movies
wow.
and film. And so, therefore, I teamed up with BET in 1991.
Okay.
I produced my first TV show with BET. And from that point, I spent the last, well, see, that's 1991, 92. Spent a long time, over 20-some-odd years in television.
Mm, wow.
And then I traveled the world and covered stories around the world. And so I am in the media, if you haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, right.
I do media strategy for small to mid-sized businesses.
Okay.
I help businesses identify their media strategies and how they're going to see themselves in the marketplace.
Okay.
I help them put together a program or some type of campaign that will allow them to monetize as well as build branding for their organization, their business, or their product.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it opens the door that I can work with any and everyone who's out there trying to generate revenue and create multiple revenue streams, and that's where my expertise come in at. So,
wow. Oh, my goodness. You guys made me tired listening to all of that.
I know. So other than that, I'm just on this quest to find my purpose, which I found early on in life, and I'm here. I have not worked since I quit. my job. So
when you do something you love, you know, it's not a job.
No, I've been doing what I've loved to do for the last 28, 29 years.
That's it. That's the blessing.
Right, that is a blessing.
That is
a
blessing.
Although it doesn't, you work, but you don't, when it doesn't feel like work, that's when
exactly.
you know that.
Exactly.
You
that's important.
Yeah.
That's very important. Wow. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for sharing all of that information. So we're here to kind of spotlight Black History Month, the African-American History Month. And so let me ask both of you this question. Why do you feel like it is important for us as African-Americans in particular to celebrate Black History Month? I know that's probably a loaded question, but.
I know that's a whole nother show, but, you know. And for me, it's simple in the fact that because we don't know. I love, one of my passions is simply people. I love people, and I have a tendency to kind of gravitate toward that millennial kind of age bracket, those 20-somethings. And it's really kind of shocking, you know, in some of the conversations I have with people kind of in my circle, the things that we don't know
right.
as it pertains to our Black history.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the efforts. We don't know the amazing things that we as a culture did to
yes.
help build this great country
Ooh.
That we
yes.
can finally talk about.
Right.
You know? And so sometimes that it bothers me. Sometimes, you know, I get a little angry about it, but then sometimes it probably makes me more sad than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's because we weren't taught it. I mean, I remember
right.
we being in high school, I learned very, very little about
right.
African-American history, the contributions that we made.
Right.
Until we start really focusing on February as a part of African-American History Month or Black History Month. So that's why it's important to me. I have a 7-year-old goddaughter. And,
mm-hmm.
The things that she asks me, it's rarely about our culture. It's about everything else, but it's rarely about our culture. So I think we have to have a platform where that we don't lose sight of that.
Absolutely. Matthew?
Well, with me, the power of words came when I say I was sitting in my church and my pastor was talking about the power of words and really what the word represents when it comes to Scripture. The word represents the sword, and it represents, the trueness, the truth. And I sat there, and I have been looking for something that connects with our people, Black folks in particular,
mm-hmm.
and being able to educate them and inform them, uplift them, as well as encourage them to seek out what their ancestors have done.
Right.
So when I sat in church and I heard the power, and he said, you know, the power of the word. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. And then what happens is, you know, the word is like that. When you say a word, it leaves, and you can't put a word back. And we're
right.
all held accountable.
Right.
Scripture says we're all held accountable for
whatever, yes.
all the words that we say and we mention.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
if you're putting out foul words, you're going to get foul back. If you put out
right.
good
yes.
words, you're going to get it back. So with my theater background, I said, what better way is to be able to articulate that through reliving our greatest authors and writers and poets, reliving their work and bringing
mm-hmm.
and channeling, getting everyday men and channeling those men to take the words of James Baldwin and W.E.B. Du Bois and really present them again back in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that is the power of it, because now every time there's a saying that you never die until the last person on earth mentions your name.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always there. It's just that if your name is constantly mentioned, that means you're still living.
Wow.
And so we want to continue to bring those great authors and writers and the literary audience, bring that powerful work back, and then also give you some knowledge.
Right.
And,
right.
And
it's it's a good hook. It's a good hook for to monetize as well, to really present to a major audience.
Right.
And the other part that, you know, is just so really cool, and I love how the power of words is delivered. It's delivered in a way in which society has just so embraced right now. Social media, everything is around social media. So it's a digital series, and it's everywhere on social media. So to Matthew's point, you know, it's such an amazing tool to educate, but we're doing it in a way that everyone's embracing. From little kids, you know, you give a phone to a little kid and they know how to use it, to, you know, the millennials, to the older generation, whomever, but anyone who's embraced, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, everyone is embracing all of those platforms. And that's where, you know, we've utilized that to share these words, the power of words around these amazing literary masterminds, if you will, about Black history and the culture and what they brought to Black history, so that we can't forget.
Right.
You know, so that's an amazing piece about this too, is how it's being shared.
Right. And I'm going to go back to something that you said, Linda, because you're absolutely correct. When I was in school, I didn't learn a whole lot about our culture and the history, and it wasn't until I went to Tuskegee University. Yes, I'm going to just give a shout out to my school. It was almost like I was in a whole new world, and I learned so much. And I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I never heard half of the things that I learned when I got to Tuskegee. It was like a whole new world. It was a culture shock for me, almost. So I wholeheartedly agree with what you were saying. We were not taught during that time. And it wasn't until, you know, I went to an HBCU that my eyes were open to all the contributions that were made by, you know, the Booker T. Washingtons and the George Washington Carvers and all of these people. And it's a shame, you know, like you were saying, we need to educate our young people about what's going on. So then that leads me to my next point, because, you know, Black History Month has been the subject of criticism from both African Americans and people of other races over the years. And some argue that it is unfair to devote an entire month to a single group. And then on the flip side of that, others contend that we should celebrate Black history throughout the entire year, and setting aside only one month only gives people a license to neglect the past for the other 11 months. So what would you say to those people who might object to the celebration of Black History Month?
Kathy, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. You know, I think McDonald's had it right, 365. You know,
I agree.
There's not enough. You know, there's not enough. We need to do this 365 because we are literally 400 plus years behind.
Yes.
In everything that we do. So we need to catch up. We need to catch up, and it may take us another 300-400 years, and then we'll consider giving up a month. You know, it's just so much that we have contributed to this culture, to this world, to this country, and it needs to be told, and simply because it's been told, so many lives have been told.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not even a matter of not knowing. It's one thing to not know and not share. It's another thing is to lie about it. You know,
just
plainly, flat lie about it.
And
then you have people believing the lie, and it becomes cemented inside of their culture that Black folks are lazy and Black folks are this and they're that. And, you know, there was a comedian who told a joke. He says, you know what, we weren't lazy until we were free.
I heard that,
You know, when we were slaves.
That sounds like a Dave Chappelle joke.
12 hours a day, 12, 16 hours a day. We weren't lazy then.
Oh, good.
We weren't lazy until we became free. Then we were lazy and didn't want to work. So I don't know if that answers the question, but it definitely shines light it shines light on the fact that, you know, everybody's culture should be celebrated.
Yes,
but more
absolutely.
Importantly, mm-hmm. more yep. importantly, you know, the contributions that have been buried, mm-hmm. you know, in the really the books in the schools and the universities, those lies that were told, there needs mm-hmm. to be some type of correction. And it's going to take time to take some get some correction going on. So I'll stick to the month, but throughout the year we all should live Black History Month.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a different twist on this, Alex. I completely agree with what Matthew just said. But I'm like, if you don't know the truth, you're going to believe a lie. So
mm-hmm.
the first thing is that if you don't know, then you have no other option but to believe the lie. So that's
right.
why I feel like, you know, they don't know, so we just swallow anything, we accept anything. And, you know, when you think about the school system, I think Black History Month, it should not be a Black History Month. There should be Black history taught in the schools every single day of every single year, so the whole 360. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge is I feel like sometimes that we've got to start somewhere.
Yes.
So we have this, but now what are we doing to make sure that it is Black history is integrated and incorporated in all of the learning, all the
yeah.
time?
So right.
I feel like, you know, we've kind of settled. This is, again, my personal opinion. I think we've settled because we have Black History Month. I don't want to settle. What are
right.
we doing to make sure that the next generation, you know, the kids that are born today will learn in school? They will learn about history, whether it is American history, Black history, you know, whatever culture. And I agree with Matthew in that. I think every culture should be celebrated.
Yeah.
Every culture should be taught. People should learn about the differences in the culture in the classroom.
Absolutely.
And I think we still have fallen short there. We are not doing enough to teach about these things consistently. And
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's almost as though, you know, they threw us a bone and we took it and there you go. But we should not just settle for that, as you said.
I agree with that.
It should just be something that is taught consistently. And as
mm-hmm.
a graduate of a HBCU, I do that at home with my kids. My
mm-hmm.
son just completed a project. Now, mind you, this is Black History Month, and this was a World War II project. That's what it was titled, but he chose the Tuskegee Airmen.
Awesome.
And this was out without my prompting. This was his choice, and it made me so proud, you know. So he is going to have the best project in the class, of course, you know.
But you know that falls
yeah.
that falls right in line with Black history is American history.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
there's no distinction between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Black
mm-hmm.
history is American history.
That's exactly
exactly
right.
So
exactly right.
It doesn't even have to be separated.
Right.
It really doesn't. So this
right.
is all it is our history.
Exactly, exactly. You're absolutely correct about that. But you guys, at this time, we're going to wind down and we're going to pause and take a short station break. And when we return from the break, we'll continue to explore this wonderful project, The Power of Words. So I'm Allie, your host, and you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff radio show. So please stay tuned.
The Power of Words. There's a basin in the mind where words float around on thought, and thought on sound and sight. Then there is a depth of thought untouched by words, and deeper still, a gulf of formless feelings untouched by thought. Zora Neale Hurston.
One ever feels this two-ness. An American, a Negro, two souls, two thoughts, two unreconciled striving, two warring ideals, one dark body whose strength alone keeps it from being torn Sunday. Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois.
Okay, we are back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. You're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at uptomeradio.com. That's up, the number two, meradio.com. And I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us at 7 to 8 p.m. on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month. And please continue to also follow me on my blog at thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can reach us at 347-324-5246. And make sure that you press the number one to be added into our on-air host queue. So now we're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to continue this powerful conversation with my special guests tonight, Linda Goodwin and Matthew Johnson. And we are now at the point where I want to say I had the fortunate opportunity to be a part of this wonderful PSA campaign titled The Power of Words. Thanks to Linda and our very own Mel D, who is behind the engineering board. But, Matthew, you kind of alluded to how this campaign came about. But if you want to just share a little bit more about the whole PSA campaign and what your goals are for the campaign.
Okay. Well, one thing, the very first thing is that we need to articulate the messages of our ancestors and the people that's before us in order for us to move forward. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Second thing is I picked a medium that I'm familiar with, which is the social media, television broadcast, just the advertising and the whole creative environment. I picked that medium because it can better explain what our message truly is. And it can also give the images that we need, the positive images that we need. The other big component to this is to secure the very first one with James Baldwin. We secured 28 men in the community. Mm. Everyday men, those celebrities, everyday men, police officers. We had some judges. We had teachers. We had 28 different types of black men from different backgrounds, quoting the words James Baldwin. That in itself was powerful. It really changed the lives of some of those men who never spoke the words of James Baldwin ever before.
Wow.
For that matter, never really, they heard about him, but never really came in contact with his work. Mm-hmm. We were successful just from that standpoint alone.
Wow.
Then the second year, we decided that we wanted to do another piece and another powerful person in the literary area, and it's W.E.B. Du Bois. His two-ness, his whole theme behind two-ness and the fact that we, as African Americans, we live and really, really perform two different lives in our life. We have one at home and one at work. And, and that's the baggage. Mm. I call it baggage that when we all of, in the black community, when you are working and you're especially corporate America, you pick up your keys and you also pick up your baggage and you become a different person when you get
yes.
to work.
That's so powerful.
And then when you get back home, you drop the baggage off and now you're back at home and you're at home. But the whole concept behind this piece was to come up with something that was, first of all, very, very creative. Mm-hmm. Second of all, practical, and third of all, impactful. And by doing so, it fed right inside of the social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. It fit perfectly. It's designed to be less than a minute. It's a vignette that allows us to transcend a message, but it also gives gives power to the men who delivers the poems.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we also talking to the wonderful ladies over there, the Linda and Melinda. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about it at dinner and saying, well, we should do power words with women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Three months later, it's running at right now where we are featuring the words of Zora Hurston.
Zora Neale.
And.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it's powerful. So I guess that's my toss over to Linda because it is is doing exactly what we plan it to do, is to really bring attention to the powerful women that's out there, the African-American women that have played a major role in shaping the creative world.
Right. So, Linda, yes. Yeah, so let's talk mm-hmm. about your involvement with the project.
Yeah. So like Matthew said, it was a conversation over dinner when he was sharing with us what he was doing with the Power of Words, you know, in Milwaukee with the guys. And it really did. It just made so much sense. I think we all probably looked at each other across the table and said, why not do the same thing with women and launch it here in Atlanta? So Atlanta Life Media Agency, you know, we worked with Matthew and his video production team, and we identified the same 28 amazing, you know, local women from all different backgrounds, from all different, you know, educational, social, economic backgrounds. You know, some are stay-at-home moms, some are in corporate America. So it's really, we wanted women from all spectrums. Right. And the artist that we selected, the poet we selected, is Dora Neale Hurston. And as Melinda and I were kind of going through looking at all of the different amazing, you know, women poets out there, you know, because, you know, everyone thinks of Maya Angelou and some of the ones that are a lot more, probably more known. We deliberately chose Dora Neale Hurston because of her background and because of who she was.
Yes.
You know, she was a titan in the 20th century in that Harlem Renaissance era. She was very prominent in that time. But what we loved even more was the fact that we realized that her work was beginning, you know, people was not as well known. And people were beginning to, I don't want to say forget her, but I think it was Alice Walker, who actually wrote about
yes.
Hurston in an essay. And it sort of sparked Dora Neale Hurston's work again. You know, when you think about it, their eyes were watching God. Everybody
right.
knows that movie that Halle Berry was in, you know.
Right.
That is Dora Neale Hurston's work. And so we immediately, when we started looking at some of her poetry and some of her quotes, we were like, absolutely. And she was a spunky chick.
Oh, my goodness.
We loved
yes.
that about her.
She was,
you know,
she was a piece of work. She was sassy.
She was very sassy.
Ooh-wee, absolutely.
So we loved selecting her. But the, you know, when we thought about why was this Atlanta Life Media Agency, and, you know, for us, we don't hide behind the fact we are, you know, a black-owned business. We are, you know, two black females who are running a TV and film production support agency, and we feel very strongly that we have a responsibility to shine the spotlight on, you know, Black History Month for what it is, to commemorate and share the contributions that African Americans have made in our history. And so what better way to do that than to be a part of this amazing PSA campaign and to bring it here to Atlanta.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback on what you said, Dora Neale Hurston is, a lot of people probably have not heard of her work, and just in my little bit of research about her, some of her work really did not receive the accolades that
mm-mm.
it's receiving now back when she wrote it. And especially Their Eyes Were Watching God, people actually criticized it because they said that she had exploited the way
mm-hmm.
the treatment of black people back then and did not represent it well. So her work was a little controversial, if
it was
at
very
best.
Controversial.
And
mm-hmm.
so a lot of people, like you mentioned, a lot of people have heard about the Maya Angelous and the Alice Walkers, but may not have heard about Dora Neale Hurston.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
it's a resurgence of this powerful woman who was sassy, who spoke her mind and wasn't afraid to do so. And she was brilliant
mm-hmm.
at what she did.
Right. And she was your typical, you know, you think about her now, she was your typical, you know, everyday African-American woman. She experienced struggles. Her life
yeah.
was not easy.
Uh-huh.
But she still had this amazing talent, this amazing voice, these amazing words that she was, you know, she was just so enthused about expressing and sharing. And she did it her way. And
right.
So, you know, I don't think she was apologetic.
No. Oh, no, she was not apologetic.
The words that she wrote, she was not apologetic about it.
At all. Oh, my goodness. So let me ask you, Matthew, first, what do you want to achieve, or what are your goals for these campaigns? Ultimately, what would you like to have happen as a result of putting together these PSA campaigns?
Well, that's a good question, because when I first thought of this, I was like, okay, why don't we come up with something to bring attention to these men? And then as we got further and further into it, now it becomes the ladies. And now it's like open this Pandora box in the sense that it could really become anything we want it to become. And ideally, it would be great to grow it regionally, nationally, and have that. And I know we were talking earlier about there's a number of other African-American organizations who are really silent now and during Black History Month. Maybe this is a way that we can replace some of that emptiness that's out there that's not being really properly portrayed in the industry. And I'm hoping that we'll have a young person's version. We have young people that's in the colleges and high schools delivering those
awesome
messages as well. There's a whole host of literary poets, authors throughout history that we haven't even begun to touch.
Right.
And we want to bring all that intellectual capital, we want to bring it back into the present, because once you channel that talent and channel that message, it becomes live again.
Yes.
And that's what we really, really need as a race, as Black people. We need something that's going to bring us back to life. Our ancestors, we cannot neglect the fact that our ancestors had something going on.
Yes.
And we need to now take it and relive it and bring it back. You know, this has some type of connection, but I have this favorite saying that, you know, in the scripture that says that when God mentions that when he puts his word out, it doesn't come back void.
Right.
The power of words.
Amen.
The power of words. Words can get you killed. Words can save your life. Words is powerful, and how you use them, that's why Martin was so great, because he really commanded the language and how he put together words. This really amazed me. You know, and there's so many more out there that really is in that space that we haven't even explored. And it comes across, it is art. It is art, it's culture,
and it is
history.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. So,
I mean, you're right, Matthew, because, you know, it even says, you know, life and death is in our tongue. So that
it's in the power of the
words
tongue.
Are
That's
powerful.
Right. That's right.
So powerful.
That's
you know,
right.
And I think to that same question, Alice, what excites me is when I get up every day and, you know, once our vignettes are posted out there to see the reaction that really excites me and really makes my heart flutter a little bit is when I see that people have shared our vignettes. You know, they've shared the posts. You know, so it's like they're pushing them out there. It's like they're making a connection. And so that right there tells me that this campaign, this PSA campaign, both the guys and the ladies, people are wanting it. People are needing it. People have embraced it, and they're sharing it with others, people that I don't even know.
Right.
You know, I just love when I see that little share button, whether it's on Facebook or also when I look at, you know, our other social media platforms posts where I'm beginning to see the same names consistently. Again, strangers, no matter, you know, I don't know where they're sitting in this country. You know that they're beginning to follow these 28 days. Everyone is beginning to, the same individuals are beginning to like and then comment on the videos, the good job, the keep going. We love this. Those are the kinds of things that make my heart kind of flutter as a result of this campaign. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, absolutely. So moving forward, because I know that this is something, you know, based on the conversation, is that something that's going to continue. So for those What if somebody's interested in becoming a sponsor or wanting to, you know, view the daily vignettes? How can they be a part of the next campaign? So I just, you know, going forward first, how can they view the vignettes if they want to? And then how could somebody be a part of the next campaign or become a sponsor, I guess?
Okay. Well, for Atlanta Life Media Agency, there are several ways in which you can follow us. We invite anyone to follow us on both all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. It's simply Atlanta Life Media Agency, and you will find us there. You can also find us on our website, where all of the videos, once they are launched each day, then we also post them on our website. That website address is www.atlma.net. So those are all the ways that you can find us. The name of our business, again, Atlanta Life Media Agency, Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube.
Awesome.
So from our standpoint, the beauty behind this partnership we have with Atlanta Life, the agency there, is that we handle the men, they handle the ladies. And so you can find our information at fellaslifestyle.com. fellaslifestyle.com. You go on that website, you can go to any one of our platforms, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and you'll see the work from the previous year as well as the work that is currently being done. But then as a sponsor, one of the things that I put out, I wrote a small article, short article on LinkedIn that really describes the monetary side of this, to really generate revenue so we can continue to deliver this message. But partners now see it as a way, an easy and short, I should say inexpensive way, to have a campaign that really channels their message as a business, but it also puts them out there so people can see their brand in association with something like this. Mm-hmm. And some companies love the fact that they just, like, we sold out all of our inventory here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. And
wow.
One of the companies came in and they bought, you know, a whole block of the vignettes because they wanted people to see that they are all about what they are promoting in the community.
Mm-hmm.
This is just another way of doing it. Some companies, this is a perfect outlet.
Right.
For them to be a part of something that they can have an awesome reach in. We're talking about reaching over 250,000 people once this thing is all said and done. At
wow.
the end of the 28 days, that's a great return on your investment. So
exactly.
If you're looking to do something like that, then you can call myself or you can call Linda. But the bottom line is that, you know, we are looking for other cities to partner and really do this next year for Black History Month. And for men and women, and then also I mentioned earlier, for our young people as well. So
right.
There's
I would love
plenty
to see
room
that.
For us to grow.
Yeah. And with respect to the young people, you guys stay tuned because on two of the days that we're going to launch, it was two of our young ladies, the moms that were our voice talent, just so happened to bring their daughters with them. And and so we captured them on video as well. So we're
wow.
excited that we will have, we'll represent and share this month two of the young ladies that were courageous enough and brave enough to allow us to use them in front of the camera also.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, I'm excited about it, and it was powerful, and it has a powerful message, and I love the fact that it's, you know, opening up these literary giants to a generation that might not hear about them had it not been for a project like this. So I'm loving all of this, and I was just blessed to be a part of it. And thank you to Linda and Mel D for including me in it, and a couple of my good girlfriends came along for the ride as well. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. So I want to take a moment to, first of all, I'll say thank you to both of you for joining me this evening, and thank you for sharing with us about this powerful piece of work, the power of words. And you said it right, Linda, the life and death resides in the power of our words and the power of our tongue. So it's very powerful. So if you haven't seen it yet, people, you got to check it out at one of these two websites at Atlanta Life Media Agency or fellaslifestyle.com. So thank you guys for empowering and reminding us who we are through powerful words of such literary greats such as Dora Neale Hurston and W.E. Du Bois. So thank you so much for what you guys have done.
Well, thank you for having us. This has been really great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So before we close out the show, I want to remind you to become a subscriber to the show by visiting the show page at uptomeradio.com. On that website, it's up2meradio.com. And there is where you can also access all of the past recorded podcasts of the show if you missed it in the past. They are also available on iTunes and on the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable app for your mobile device. And you can also find both on iTunes and Stitcher by just searching for Up to Me Radio. And please remember to visit my online store at thereislifeafterlayup.com. I have a copy of both my books out there. They're still available. And if you wish to contact me directly, you can always do that via email at thereislifeafterlayup@gmail.com. And please remember to connect and follow us on all the social media outlets. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram at AllieWard45. And you can follow Up to Me Radio on Twitter by searching for Up to Me Radio. And also like us on Facebook by searching for There Is Life After Layoff and Up to Me Radio. So on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us, and I look forward to bringing you even more exciting guests and content. And until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged, and yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. You didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no.
Failure is not final.
Your life. freedom I have ever known has come from you alone.